Hare Krishna. Happy Friday, the last day of our retreat. Fresh morning. But we are not just called, we are called for Krishna. To indicate that we are here not for entertainment, not even out of fear of the material existence and public opinion. We always chant before the class a mantra to indicate that the purpose is transcendental, that we are here for Krishna. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. 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 In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which all of you know as a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's very connected to yesterday's discussion. So yesterday we discussed the necessity to offer everything to Krishna. And we quoted the last verse from Krishna's instructions in the Uddhava Gita, where he says that even useless things, when offered to Krishna, gain value. They become worthwhile. So this is very similar to a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which says, Yad karoshi adashnasi, yad juhoshi dadasi yad, yat tapasyasi kaunte tat kurushva madarpanam. So some devotees said that this is aropa siddha bhakti. So there are three kinds of bhakti. of course this is pradhanya bhakti, meaning that this bhakti is honest. We aim to reach Krishna. We use some methods that may not be exclusively bhakti, but we want to please Krishna and we want to reach Krishna. By the way, I want to ask, did somebody try to offer anything to Krishna yesterday that you do not usually offer or something? Or to offer more of what you usually offer? Okay, so I see many smiles. So those who didn't offer, please look at the smiles of those who did offer and hear the laughs. So this is one of the Bhagavad Dharmas, one of the most important Bhagavad Dharmas, one of the most important spiritual techniques, which can very quickly help us change, elevate our consciousness. And I also want to ask you, did you thank Krishna many times? Or, I mean, 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, until it... Okay, again, look at the smiles, please. Those who raise their hands. Thank you very much for trying this. So this is one of the qualities of Krishna, also gratitude. do you know where he which illustration the Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives to confirm that Krishna is grateful? Anybody remembers? There's one name to illustrate this. That's there, yes. Draupadi, yes, he's there. Also Srila Prabhupada says, if for one chanting Govinda, Krishna is so grateful, you can just imagine how much grateful Krishna is if every day at least 18 times you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, if there are tears of surrender and happiness and ecstasy, that would be helpful too. But Prabhupada says that Krishna is grateful. Krishna is, it's hard to imagine somebody more grateful than Krishna. Krishna is one of the most grateful. Also mentioned in the first canto, in that list of Krishna's qualities. Kritagyata. And in the Nectar of Devotion, the example is given of Jambavan, that Krishna felt grateful to Jambavan, and to show his gratitude, he accepted Jambavan as his father-in-law. Would you like to be Krishna's father-in-law? Maybe not. You know, you can have more than one sarupa in the spiritual world. You know, Baldevi Dibhushan says it's a simple solution to this difficult question. Oh, can I change my sarupa? Can I change my sarupa in the spiritual world? As if somebody forces you, you know. You come there and they look you up in the register, in the Excel file, and they say, oh, sorry, you are a stone there. And you think, oh, okay. Can I change? No, it's eternal, it's fixed. No, sarupa is your prakatyam hridi sadhyata, nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. It's your eternal relationship with Krishna. It's your eternal desire. Or as Rupa Goswami says. But to pacify those of us who are still in the very dual consciousness of limited choices of the material world, Baladeva Vidyabhushan quotes the Upanishad, which says that in the spiritual world, a liberated person can have one svarupa, two svarupas, three svarupas, 10 svarupas, 1,000 svarupas, or 1,020 svarupas. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, that means as many as you need. No problem, don't worry. You need so that's not something to worry about. So Jambavan was accepted as the father-in-law of Krishna. He accepted Jambavati, who became the mother of Samba. Yeah, and Jambavati, according to Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami says, is actually Lalita from Vrindavan. Yeah, so if you can read Lalita Madhava, an amazing story, which really soothes your heart and can set everything in proper, perfect harmony in your heart. So Krishna is very kind and very merciful. Krishna is grateful. And we want to become his totally devoted, loving servant. So that Yad Karoshi Yad Ashnasi is not the maximum amount of love. There is the previous verse, which indicates just Kevala Bhakti, exclusive Bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. And the same verse is also quoted in the 10th canto, 10.81.4. 10.81.4. So that's a very nice, flowery verse. Flowery and juicy verse. It's the verse, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. And the acharyas are saying that Krishna is so attracted by the spice of bhakti that he says, I eat patram pushpam palam. Pushpam, what means pushpam? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is so attracted by love that he takes the flower and eats the flower. Although usually you don't eat the flower, but Krishna eats the flower. So, you know, in which story this is mentioned? This verse? Sudama, yes, it's in a Sudama story, Sudama Vipra story. We have two chapters at the end to pacify a doubting soul about Krishna's friendship. Krishna is a perfect friend. Krishna is a friend to every single person. In fact, this is one thing we need to realize. Prabhupada says this is the peace formula. If you accept Krishna as your friend, you should be peaceful. So if I'm not peaceful, that should probably indicate I have doubts. That either that Krishna is not fair, not kind, and it all is included into friendliness, in friendliness. That I doubt maybe Krishna, is Krishna my friend or not? So Sudama is a very famous friend of Krishna. We have also Sudama the florist in Mathura, who was blessed by Krishna. Yes, Krishna entered Mathura, and that was his first night on the town. Yeah, so he first dressed himself. Of course, the washerman was not very cooperative. And not only that, he called Balaram bad names. So Krishna adjusted his anatomical structure by introducing a separation between his head and the trunk to stop further offenses. And then he, he took perfumes from Kubja. He took, I should swallow him. He took the flower from Sudama. So you may remember a few years ago, Bhujan Prabhu was saying that why Krishna entered the house of Sudama, because he was reminded of his Vrindavan friend Sudama. So for this reason, he entered the house of the florist Sudama. Sudama offered him obeisances. He gave him the best garlands, and Krishna blessed him to be prosperous and happy in this world, and enjoy with full strength of senses till the end of his life, and then go back to the spiritual world. It's the normal blessing a normal person desires, yes? So it's available. It's also available. We see a very similar story in Navadvip. When Nimai Pandit goes to walk in the city, yes, and he enters one shop, and he asks, he sees different clothes in the weaver's shop, and then he chooses the best clothes, and then he says, "So I would like to take these, but I don't have money." So the weaver, so you can see there is a difference between Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila, because this weaver, he says, so it's sort of a second chance for some people from Mathura. We know that, for example, Kamsa becomes Kazi, and he becomes a devotee. So this weaver here, he says, "Prabhu, why do you talk about money? Why do you talk about money? You know, you just take and wear, and then you come bring what you think is proper afterwards." And so Gauranga Mahaprabhu smiles and throws a glance of blessings onto that weaver. Then he goes to the cowherd's house, and he takes yogurt, and he even takes rice there. And then he goes to the oil merchant's shop, And the merchant gives him some of the best oils. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, how much does it cost? Because I remember from the school that oils are costlier than gold. I remember reading in the school that 1 gram of rose oil is more expensive than 1 gram of gold. And I remember I read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's body has the smell of aguru, of sandalwood, musk, and saffron. Yeah, Chatusama. So I went across Sugandha Lok. It's called Sugandha Lok. Yeah, across the temple, and I asked, "Do you have a guru?" So they gave me a bottle, and they said, "Yes, here, this is a guru." How much does it cost? And they said 7 rupees. And I looked, and it says it's synthetic. So I say, "This is synthetic?" They say, "Yeah, it's synthetic." And I say, "Can you get me a real aguru oil?" They said, "Oh, we have to order." And I said, "Okay, so if you want to order, so this much aguru oil, how much would it cost?" "Maybe $3,000. "Oh, okay." Maybe then I will not order that oil. This will give me the idea how Krishna's body smells. So Gauranga Nimai Pandit went to this oil merchant's shop, and he selected the best oils, and the merchant said, "Prabhu, you just go home, and then if tomorrow after taking bath you still like how the oil smells, then you can come and give me some Lakshmi, some money, whatever money you think is proper." Because it's the usual surprise, yeah? You select an incense which smells so nicely, then you come home, then you burn it, and then, oh, it doesn't smell the same way. And I don't know if you noticed, somehow incense always smells better in somebody else's home. When you get the same incense for yourself, completely different smell. Only when you go to somebody's home, then it smells like heaven. Something strange, I don't know, it's a very strange phenomenon about incense. So therefore, to avoid such a problem, the merchant says, "Prabhu, you take a bath tomorrow, and if after bath, you still smell in such a way that you like, then you can come and give the proper price." So Gauranga Mahaprabhu smiles again at this merchant, giving him blessings. Yes, then he goes to the florist, and he says, he sees the garlands, and the florist immediately takes the best garland and puts it on Nimai Pandit's chest. And Nimai Pandit says, "I don't have money." And he says, "Don't mention money. I see you are Mahapurusha, and I want to give this garland to you just like that." And Nimai Pandit says, "Why?" He says, "Something inspires me from the heart." So Gauranga smiles at this florist, and then he goes and somebody gives him a best conch for arati, for blowing in, for making sound in the arati. Then, of course, we know he goes to the astrologer and says, "Oh, astrologer, you are so learned, so can you please tell me who I was in my previous life?" And the astrologer, and you know, by astrology, you cannot really say this. You can say maybe something general, but not specific. Astrology never gives a specific answer to this. So it has to be done in meditation. I remember in Jagannath Puri once I went to an astrologer. He said this, that, this. And then I asked, "Can you say about past life?" And he said, "Then that I need tomorrow morning, that I will meditate. And then if I understand, if I see, then I will tell you. If I don't see, I will not tell you. So then come tomorrow, same time." So it's done in meditation. Yeah, so then this Brahmana, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, came to him And then I said, who I was in my previous life? And then this Brahmana chants Gopal mantra and he meditates and he sees, Chaitanya Bhagavata explains, he sees that this person came as Matsya, this person came as Varaha, this person came as Kurma, this person came as Narasimhadev, this person came as our Lord Rama. So then he... So there are slightly different versions in Chaitanya Bhagavata and in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, so in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear that the astrologer says, sir, I think that in your previous life, you were the Supreme Absolute Truth. And Nimai Pandit says, haha, I think you're not very clear in your art, because I know for sure that I, in my previous life, was a cowherd man. So I'm not sure if you know your art well. I was a cowherd man. I was tending cows in my past life. So that was Gauranga's walk in the Navadvip. Very interesting. Heart-touching exchange with his devotees. And also when Krishna came to Mathura, also everybody came out to see him, to greet him. It was amazing. So he visited Sudama because he had the same name. And he then made friends with Sudama in Avantipur. Then he went to study in Avantipur with Sandipani Muni. And by the way, you can notice that Mathura Lila is very peculiar. So that's like 18 years in Mathura, 18 or 28, depending on, 18 usually, 17 to 18, right, is described. And except for Kubja, you can see there is practically no Shingar Ras or Lila. There's hardly any Lila with the ladies. So Sridhar Swami makes a humorous comment. He says that Krishna became a brahmachari. He went to Avantipur and then Sandipani Muni taught him brahmacharya. So then Krishna is a very strict brahmachari in Mathura. Although Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that in some other kalpa, this is where he marries the queens in Mathura. So in the school in Avantipur, he becomes a friend with Sudama. And then we know this amazing story from the end of the 10th canto about Sudama. Sudama had a wife and he didn't give much attention to earning money. So some stories say that they had even sometimes had to share the same clothes for going out. I mean, you know, sometimes it was his dhoti and sometimes it was her sari, you know, depending who needed to go out first. So then Sudama's wife finally prevailed and told Sudama, Sudama, look, your Krishna is not far away from here. That's how many? It's something like 60 kilometers, 70 kilometers, Porbandar to Dwaraka, how far it is? 60, 70 kilometers? Like if you really, really are a good walker, maybe you could make it in one day, maybe in 2 days. Yes? To even by walking. So then she, and it is explained, it was not selfish on her side. She was she cared about him. So she prevailed and he goes to Dwaraka to meet Krishna. And then he comes to Dwaraka and he is worried maybe they will, and he sees, you know, all these emerald walls, walls are sapphire. Sapphire walls, emerald floors, coral columns, And so much beauty, golden chariots all around. Everybody looks like from a higher planet. And it so happens that where he enters, they immediately greet him with great respect as a Brahmana. And where he enters, it turns out that this is Rukmini's palace. So Krishna lives in 16,108 palaces. But Prabhupada says there is around 1 million palaces. Would you like to have your palace next to Krishna's palace? Or even a hut next to Krishna's palace? And then in the morning, you see how Krishna comes out, and Daruka comes and does his namaskar to Krishna, and Krishna steps on his palms and then enters the chariot. And then he goes... All 16,108 Krishnas go to the assembly hall, and then there they become the same Krishna. And everybody thinks that Krishna lives in my palace. That those other palaces also are Krishna's, but I'm so fortunate he lives here. And every queen, she's convinced. Every queen is convinced that Krishna is totally controlled by her. That he's handpacked. Pantoffelheld, or how do you say this? I forgot again. What's the Hindi for this handpacked? I mean, totally controlled by the wife. So that's the challenge for every grihastha, that he is totally uncontrolled and independent, but the wife is convinced that he is. I can safely say this because I hope. I mean, so far I can. give such instructions to grihasthas, and nobody can say, look at yourself. As in that joke, yeah, that if you are going to have a child, then immediately go and give all your neighbors and friends instructions how to raise children. That's your last chance to instruct everybody. So everybody is convinced that Krishna is in their palace, and Sudama Vipra happens to enter Rukmini's palace, and he's not sure whether they will even let him in, but when he enters, immediately they bring him to Krishna, and Krishna is sitting in the snow white couch, which is soft like milk foam and fanned by Rukmini, and coral columns, emerald floor, sapphire walls. And Krishna immediately stands up and he says, oh, please, you sit down. And then Sudama sits down and Krishna washes his feet, you know, and he says, how are you? And Sudama is not sure. Maybe he took me for somebody else. You know, maybe he didn't, right? Maybe. So then he says, oh, Sudama, do you remember how we were in the school and how we were together lost in the forest for one night? Do you remember those times, how we were? So Sudama feels, oh, he remembers everything, how about our times together in the school. And Krishna says, Sudama, did you marry or not? Because it looks like you are married, but you're so thin that I'm not sure, actually. So I have to ask. And so then he says, Sudama, what gift did you bring to me? Because, you know, you're going to see your friend, bosom friend, very close friend, and then usually you bring something. And Sudama looks at the, you know, emerald floors, sapphire walls, golden fans, and he thinks, I'm not giving it. And what he had was just some, you know, flat rice. That his wife had to collect from the neighbors. you know, this flat rice that no matter where you buy it, it always has the smell of the mice. Yeah, it's the poor man's food or travelers. It's good for travelers because you can just, you know, mix it with yogurt or something and it's ready to eat. Of course, you can make poha with it, and poha is nice. That's different. But he had a little pouch with this rice, and he thought, I'm not giving it. So then Krishna just comes and says, "Oh, you have here something. Look, you brought some jeera, some rice." And he takes this pouch and he takes and tastes and he says, "Oh, this is such a good rice." He takes another morsel, and then Rukmini holds his hand and smiles. And with one smile to Krishna, she said, that's in our Bhagavatam, she makes clear that, "Krishna, do you want me to be sold as a slave to this Brahmana just by your eating one morsel? I have to give him everything in the universe. But if you eat one more morsel, that means you're giving me away as a slave to him. So please, one morsel is enough. I don't know how I will repay him if you eat more." That's to Krishna. And to the Brahmana, she smiles, and he understands to make clear that I need to distribute this maha to all my friends and, you know, girls here. They also need to get some maha. So, you know, it's enough. Krishna took something, then I need to give maha to them. And to the girls, she smiles and, you know, makes clear, if Krishna eats one more morsel of this food, he'll have bad stomach of this, you know. So one smile, different audience, different meaning for everybody. And then Sudama Vipra spends his night, and then he goes home and he doesn't ask. He feels shy to ask about anything. And Krishna doesn't give. And there are several reasons why he doesn't give. Because one reason, he wants to glorify Sudama, because he came and everybody sees he's so thin that you can see all the veins in his body. That means his body fat is below 8%. Or maybe 2%. I mean, record is 2.6, I think, yeah, for men. For ladies, it's something like 10 or... So very, very lean. So if Krishna thinks if I give him gifts, then all the people will say, of course, he's... of course, he has nothing to eat. He is calm, and now he's collected gifts, and now he goes home. Clear. But now they see that he came without anything, and he goes without anything. So they think, Sudama is so renounced. This Brahmana is really austere. He's really detached. So that was one reason. Another reason, Vishnachakurti Thakur explains, is that Krishna felt embarrassed. Because he thought, I cannot adequately reciprocate. Because Sudama gave me more than he had. He had to borrow from the neighbors to bring this rice. And I cannot give him more than I have, because I have everything. You know, more than I have does not exist. Everything that is mine. So how can I give him more than I have? It's not there. So he felt, sorry, I cannot give him an equal gift. I cannot give him more. So therefore, out of embarrassment, Krishna decided to give it secretly in the night, when nobody saw, when Sudama didn't see. So Sudama comes back and he sees, what is this? Some palace? And he checks the GPS, he checks the navy. It should be here. And he cannot recognize the location. So then his wife comes out, and he's also not sure. Is it my wife? with all the ornaments and all these music and everything. And she says, oh, my dear husband. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that he did also change Sudama, but a little later, so that at least she could recognize him. And so then, and as he was walking back, it is explained that he was thinking, Krishna is so merciful. Krishna is so merciful. He knows I'm so attached. So if he gave me something, I would be spoiled. So on the way back, he was going and he was doing our exercise, thanking Krishna. Oh, Krishna, this is your mercy. Krishna is so merciful. I'm so attached. I have such a small mind. He would give me, if he gave me some material things, it would be not good for me. So all the way, 2 days, he was meditating how it's Krishna's mercy. And then he comes and he sees all of that. And then again, he's thinking, oh, Krishna's mercy. And so he tries to be austere. Jiva Goswami, it's in our Bibhuti Bhagavatam, explains that that was the last attachment of Sudama. What was his attachment? He was attached to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that it was Krishna's bewilderment even. Krishna was bewildered when he saw Sudama. He thought, why is he so skinny? Usually, you know, I send everything required to my devotees. So why is he so skinny? What's happening? What's the reason? And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are two kinds of devotees. One category of devotees are neutral to material things, and the other category of devotees, they are actively rejecting material things. So Sudama Vipra belonged to those who were actively rejecting some material things. So therefore, Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary that this was one last attachment that Sudama had. He was attached to detachment. Yeah? It's not a very frequent problem that we have. We shouldn't think, I should not be attached to detachment. Yes, give me three, four spoons of halwa. therefore Krishna gave him such wealth, and even though Sudama slept on the floor, but the floor was emerald floor, so he couldn't feel too proud, you know, that, I'm so detached. Because he's living on the emerald floor and sapphire walls also, yeah, better than Indra's palace. So he felt, then I'm neither attached nor detached, nor I'm just Krishna's small servant. Let me be Krishna's friend forever. Friend, close friend, or at least servant, somehow connected to Krishna. So Krishna is very wonderful friend. So, in the Gita, Krishna says, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, I'm a friend of everyone. And if you know this, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richati. If one who understands this reaches supreme peace. And Bhagavatam shows again and again how Krishna is kind, how Krishna is fair, how Krishna is friendly. So the seventh canto begins with the point that even demons Krishna rewards with liberation. What to speak of devotees? This is the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. He says, Krishna, I'm bewildered. Putana just dressed as a devotee and you gave her yourself. So now I don't understand. What will you give? Bridge buses? It should be more than Putana gets, no? But they offer you so much more, so what do you give them? I'm bewildered. I don't know how you can give them more than you give Putana. So Krishna is supremely merciful. Krishna is supremely merciful. He is controlled by love, as explained in the nectar of devotion on the example of this Sudama story, but he is merciful to everybody. In the end of the fourth canto, Narada Muni says a very beautiful verse. This is 4:29:51. Here is this verse. Let us chant this. The previous verse said Hari, that Hari is the Atma. Hari is in the heart. Hari is in the heart of every living entity. And Bhagavatam again and again encourages us to meditate at every step at Krishna's, meditate on Krishna's presence in every heart. And this verse develops it further. So let us chant this verse. Savai priyatamashchatma yato nabhayamanvapi iti veda savai vidvan yo vidvan sa gurur harihi. So we have an expanded translation here. I will read it. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is an actually bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is no different from Krishna. Can you go back to the Sanskrit? Yes. So it's an expanded... Actually, this is a very striking verse. It says, this Hari, this Supreme Lord in the heart, he is Priyatama. You know, there is Priya, Priyatara, Priyatama. He's the dearmost friend, the closest, the most loving friend you may have, the most loving friend. Yato, from whom there is not even a drop, Anu, an atom of danger or fear to be afraid. So many religions, religious schools try to inculcate fear of God and present him as some judge, cruel person who counts your sins. Just trying, I saw this and aha, let me, I will write it down and I will get you for this. But in all of Bhagavatam descriptions, we see Krishna is always mercifully smiling. There's always a merciful smile. Every description, Vishnu, Narayan, every meditation, Krishna is mercifully smiling. There is one incarnation that's coming without a smile. But then, when he sees a devotee, then he also starts smiling. Prahlad Narasimha, yeah? So Narada Muni says, Nabhayam Anvapi, there is not a drop of to be feared. He's the best friend and nothing to be afraid. Two things. He's your best, most loving friend. And nothing to fear from him. Iti Veda Savai Vidvan. If you know this, if you know that he's your friend, no need to fear Krishna. He's fair, he's kind, not only that, he's the best friend. If you know this, you are a PhD, you are a member of Royal Academy, you are the highest scholar, you know everything. You are learned. Iti veda sa vai vidvan. Definitely, no doubt. You can see two times it says vai, vai. Definitely, definitely. Certainly, no doubt, for sure. Not only that, if you know this, you are a guru. You can go and teach the whole world. That's one thing. If you know this one thing, you can teach the whole world. Because the whole world lives in fear. Or something. Or other. So, this is a very important and very beautiful secret. Krishna is your friend. And our anartha nivritti, taking shelter in Krishna, means that we accept him as our friend. We surrender, we trust, we understand, there is no need to fear Krishna. Krishna is really kind. Krishna is your best hope, best shelter. And, of course, Krishna, as Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of the Ocean devotion, Krishna means Krishna and his energies and his devotees. That's a proper understanding of who Krishna is. So Krishna means Krishna and his devotees, as the whole Bhagavatam describes. So, therefore, in the Gita, Krishna says, if you really understand why I act, you will see I act for my friends. And if you understand that, you will be free from karma. Why? Because you will like it. You will join me. You will join me. Karma bira nasa badyate, nasa lipyate. One will not be bound by any karma. Hare Krishna. So, we have many medicines in the Bhagavatam. So, offer everything to Krishna. Avoid accusing Krishna. Find how everything... Learn the art of seeing everything as Krishna's mercy. And Sakyam, one of the nine processes we are supposed to practice is to think, Krishna, you are my friend. Krishna, you are my best friend. Priyatama, kindest, most loving friend. And this is the rasa elixir which can revive our hearts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, some devotees hate. Some people hate money, wealth, or comforts, or even we can see that because so many of devotees, so many devotees are coming from the yogi background in the past lives, and many yogis they treat this yama aparigraha to mean accept no gifts, no presents. So therefore, sometimes as devotees, our friend, devotee friend, tries to give us something, some fruit, cake, something, and we say, no, I don't need, thank you. No, I will not take it. Just out of habit from before. So we are attached to this detachment that can manifest. But Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami in the Nectar, Srila Prabhupada says in the Nectar instruction, this society has been created for the six loving exchanges, Nadati Prati Grihnati. So for a devotee, that's a part of loving exchange, forming loving exchanges. So that's one example. And it can be deeper. Some devotees are afraid of success, any kind of success. Afraid of success because it can mean some responsibility. Yeah, so many things are there. Sometimes devotees have it hidden so deeply. I remember hearing that it's called self-sabotage. I think our Akrura speaks about it, self-sabotage. Mahatma and Akrura, they had some talks on their radio. Yeah, and it's sort of as you are about to reach some new level, you fall sick or you make a quarrel or you do some crazy thing and then you are safe back where you were before. It's somewhat unconscious manifestation of that attachment to detachment. Is it okay?
Prabhu, you mentioned at the beginning of the class that there are three kinds of devotees?
Yes.
You mentioned at the beginning of the class, what are the three kinds of devotees?
Bhakti. Three kinds of bhakti. There are many kinds of three kinds. One kind that we mentioned in terms of Aropa, so that's described in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami at the end. So yesterday's verse he quotes in 333, Anucheda 333. So Sarupa Siddha, Sangha Siddha, and Aropa Siddha. So Bhakti can be Bhakti in three ways. Aropa Siddha is by offering. So by nature, by itself, this is not Bhakti. Like, eating something, some food. But, you know, in itself, it may be bhakti, maybe not be bhakti. But by offering, when you offer, it becomes bhakti. Then some things that sangha siddha bhakti, it's bhakti because it's very helpful for bhakti. Like, for example, forgiveness and humility. And other qualities, or accepting the spiritual master. Gyanis accept spiritual masters, karmis accept spiritual masters. So in itself, it may or may not be bhakti. But it's if you accept a bhakta spiritual master, then that's bhakti. So it's very helpful. It's always helpful to bhakti. And developing good qualities, they are helpful for bhakti. Prabhupada repeats several times, without developing the 26 qualities of a devotee, you cannot go to the spiritual world. So that's Sangha Siddha Bhakti. And then there is Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. This is bhakti no matter what. Whether you offer or not, it's already connected to Krishna. So this is Shravanam Kirtanam, visiting Vrindavan. So this is something that we see happening. Sometimes a non-devotee somehow accidentally wanders into a temple, buys a book, comes to the holy dham, and they become a devotee. Even though they started by some unconscious contact. So that's Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. It's by its very nature bhakti. And we should learn to do everything as bhakti. But, of course, as sadhakas, very important part of our sadhana, we need to have enough of Sarupa Siddha Bhakti to nourish our spiritual life. Enough Shravanam, enough Kirtanam, and enough Dham Vas, enough Sadhu Sangha, and so forth. Okay? Hare Krishna. That's Bhakti Sandarbha. Bhakti Sandarbha and Anuchedas 330, around there, described by Jiva Goswami. Hare Krishna. Any more points? Yes, Prabhu. Is it? Yes. Prasidhan Itai, is that you?
Hare Krishna. My question is about yesterday, how you were telling that when we join Krishna consciousness, these bad qualities come out from inside of us.
Yes.
So I was discussing with one devotee, and they were making the argument that, okay, maybe due to some association of devotees, these bad qualities were actually developed. Maybe they were not all inside of us, but they were developed, strengthened due to some false association. So can we say that sometimes due to our choices, maybe our ignorance of choices, that we put ourselves in such situations that bad qualities can actually be developed from outside? Maybe the root was inside of us, but it grew due to the external circumstances.
This is the exact example I gave. That's how the mind will always... We always try to shift responsibility outside. That's the core proclivity of a conditioned soul. We always try to blame somebody, and if you cannot catch somebody... For example, Avanti Brahmana gives the example in the 11th canto. When you bite your tongue. When you bite your tongue, who can you blame for it? But I'm sure you can come up with so many inventive ways to blame somebody. I bite my tongue, but this is because Mayapur Paramahamsa Das diverted me, and I made me tired, and that's why I bought my tongue. So he's guilty. Yeah, I can invent. You know, in the morning I come up and kick my toe in the chair, and yeah, it pains. And I, who put this chair here? And then I think, oh, it was me. And then, but why did I put this chair here? Because they diverted me. You know, they talked to me in the evening, and then I left my chair here. So who is guilty? They. And that's the, you know, it's such a deep need that we have to blame somebody. And I'm not saying others are not guilty. Some there are people who are criminals. There are people who are terrible, sinful rascals who can do unspeakable things of which they are guilty, who can traumatize others very badly, who can kill people even, or whatever, or even worse than killing. There are some things that are worse than killing. They are there. It's not to say that they are not guilty. There may be some people who are guilty, but until we reclaim responsibility, I'm the doer, Om Karta Shastartavatvat, until we understand that, yes, I'm the chooser. Vedanta Sutra says, especially in the human form of life, there is always a choice. And we can always, human form of life means 100% everybody in Nrimatra. As soon as you're human, everybody can become a perfect devotee. We have enough choice. So yes, it may mean that we can select better and better association. And if there is unfavorable association, then there is a way to not be infected. You know, like in the Nectar of Instruction, we say, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyata. And Srila Prabhupada says, like we have Prakriti Sahajiyas, who are addicted to drugs, illicit sex, and bad habits. So, we respect them in the mind. It's interesting. He brings, you know, usually he just condemns. But here he says, no, they sing Hare Krishna, so we respect them, but maybe we don't, we may even, you know, say Hare Krishna, yes, but we may not exchange, engage in some closer exchanges with them, not to get their habits, right? So, he may be influenced, but by proper use of our choices, then we will advance. And by always seeking guidance. You have some comments on this? You want to give some comments? Yes. Okay. Proceed on the diaper, is that okay? Yes. So, somebody may be guilty, but until I see what I, how I contribute, and the characteristic, the phenomenon of this stage, discovering the shadow, is so interesting that the shadow tries to remain a shadow. Krishna shows me the shadow in my face, and I try to turn away. So therefore, the problem there will be to deny the choice, to see how I am helpless, to see that I'm trapped, that I have no choice, that I cannot avoid it. It's unavoidable. And therefore, it's not my fault. So shadow means it's not my fault. I don't have it. It's not my responsibility. It's not my fault. Whereas Krishna tries to show it, no, it is, there is some choice that, you know, the famous example of, we have Avanti Brahmana, yes, who achieved perfection even though they urinated in his food and they took away his japa and they tormented him in so many ways. But he learned to control his mind and he became happy. Or closer, Viktor Frankl, who was, you know, what was it? Ja zum Leben sagen. He wrote this book. How he survived the concentration camp by changing his reactions. He couldn't change anything. He doesn't have control of whether he stands or sits. But he changed his reactions. Or just recently, in that East Ukraine under Russian control, occupied by Russia now, just recently somebody posted an interesting story. There was a boy who was captured, and then he was imprisoned and forced labor, I don't know, dig trenches or something. But he decided, life is life, why should I be angry? And so he was provoked, but he decided, no, I will not be angry. And so he kept peaceful. It's just now, it's just, you know, a few months ago. He kept completely peaceful. So then after some time, these people, because, you know, sadists and masochists, they need each other. You know this joke about masochists telling to sadists that, hit me. And the sadist says, no. So if he doesn't feed that cruelty, then it changes the other person. So then finally they just took him, put him in the car, and took him outside of this war zone. They say, you look different. You don't look like you belong here. You can go. And then he met devotees and he became a devotee. He became a devotee. And there are devotees who also experience something like that there in that part. So even in situations where it seems there is no choice, at least we can choose the reactions, how we treat our people. And there will be strong resistance from the mind and from the shadow to deny. Yes? Maharaj, you want to add some comments? That maybe our bad qualities do grow in the beginning, you know, when this 4:29:69, Krishna shines awareness on all this dirt in the heart, and we usually think that, oh, I didn't have it, I was a good boy, and these bad qualities are coming because of, you know, my bhakta leader or something, bad association. So the question was, but sometimes it can be bad association. They could grow from bad association. So my reply was that could be, but until I own my part, until I take responsibility for my choices, then we will be victimized by the mind games.
Lord Krishna, I really think this is a very, very important point, and I have seen in preaching that there is a lot of what we could call victim mentality. It is unnecessary. I know one great preacher in our movement once gave the example, when you go to the bathroom, and yes, the human waste comes out, and you become totally disturbed by the fragrance. Then if you begin to point fingers, why do you stink so much? Why is this? You forget that you produced it. You ate and you transformed the food and you made it, and it's good to take responsibility that there's no outside influence. I really think a devotee should learn to own his life and the decisions and what happens in his life. And this verse, therefore, is a guideline for all devotees. When guideline means this helps you to get out of a certain situation. It guides you to a different level of understanding. I must say, because we are so conditioned, it is sometimes quite difficult to see for us how we are responsible in every single little case, because it's so much more comfortable to say that there are other causes than ourselves. It is so shocking to say yes, no, yes, no. Yes. It is, and I think it goes against a psychological wiring which we have adopted since childhood, that others and not myself are the cause of my happiness and unhappiness. But in spiritual life, we need to rewire this. Even when we can't see how I am the cause of something which happened for me, then I should understand, well, I only have an ability to see one life, but there were other lives before which are now affecting my present life. The moment I have seen in my own life, and really it was a long, long way until I could see this. The moment you really own that, okay, someone wrote a bad thing about me in the internet. Oh, how could this rascal do this? You know, and the moment you think, well, maybe I have to learn something. Maybe I have some. At the moment you do this, your whole life changes, and you become blissful, and you, and so on. But it's difficult. It's difficult. I agree. It's a mental discipline. I think it has to do with spiritual growth, until you can and not identifying with the mind and with the body, which you have at the present moment and which you treasure so much as your identity. We have to be compassionate to those who are in the victim mentality. And I can see so many percentage of our membership is, oh, everyone was unfair. Now the devotees. I go to the devotees. They are so nice. They are saints. They will never do politics. They will never ever say something bad about me. They will always take their soft hands and pat it on my head. And then we make advertisement. Oh, come to the Association of the Devotees. This is, you will be so happy. Chant and be happy, and so on. And then all these things we find out later. Oh, it's not like the advertisement. And we become then maybe disenchanted and leave the Association of Devotees because we can't come to the understanding that it's that I'm here, I'm fallen away from Krishna. I've done many things and I need correction. My activities which I initiate need to be corrected.
Thank you.
I'm a little hazy in my mind at the moment.
Yes, we see, like in the first canto, Yudhishthir, God told him to do the battle. All the sages told him. And still, at the end, he said, I cannot rule. I am guilty of all these people's deaths and sufferings. I cannot rule. It took several months for Bhishma to convince him, no, you do this yagya and you rule. Whereas Duryodhana or Dhritarashtra, he understands it's wrong. And he says, well, yes, I am attached to my son, but God made me do this. If God didn't want me to do this, why did he make me attached? That's his responsibility, that I am attached to Duryodhana so much. So you can see, Prabhupada says, human life is a life of responsibility. But this is a part of maturation, psychological growth, which outside of Krishna consciousness, it's extremely difficult to find these hidden, denied things in our life. They come only through criticism of others and through quarrels and conflicts. But in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is so merciful, he reveals it in yourself. He reveals it just shines this light on ourselves. And we can just take this Manakshiksha, Gitamala, Sharanagati, and then these bhajans, they carry us through that dark forest to Krishna. Thank you very much. I will ask you one last thing. It will take 1 minute. 1 minute or 1 minute and 20 seconds. Can you please, I humbly ask you, can you please, everybody turn to one person next to you? One person, only one person, one-on-one. Okay? And now we have 30 seconds. You can, you decide who goes first. Point a finger. And then I will ring the kartals, and you will have only 30 seconds to list as many things as possible in the last 2 weeks for which you are thankful to Krishna. Begin. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Who has listed at least, who has listed seven or more? Who has listed five or more? Who has listed three or more? Hare Krishna. According to the studies, if you list three things you're thankful for the next 6 months, you are 60% happier than so for half a year you're set, unless you do this regularly, thanking Krishna and Govardhan for all the blessings they are giving us. Hare Krishna.